Didn't get too many ideas. The Gemara points out that there are three different categories of people who are Tomei. Each one is more chomer than the other. There's the lowest level is Tumas Maga. There's a dead sheretz, so there's a piece of meat in the A&P that they're selling, so it's Nevela, didn't have any Shechita. So Nevela's Metabe Memaga Memasa, even if it's wrapped up, if I pick up the package, there's no Maga, but there's Masa. So that's Metame Me Tumas Maga. Or if I go to a funeral, so that's Metame Me the Tuma. Comes mi bachutz. Then there's a higher level of tumah that's called tumah hayotzol migufa. Tumah develops in my body. Zab zava yoledes a mitzora. The parsha begins with the din of yoledes, then it continues with the mitzora. But the tumah develops within my body. And the highest level of tumah hayotzol migufa is singled out by the chumash as a mitzora. That's how it says in chumash Bamidbar, when the parsha writes of the din of shiloch tamei min amachne. It says vishalchem min amachne kol tzorua v'chol zov. The Gemara in Pesachim says that these are three levels, the three different machnas. Yishalch man machna called Sarua, he's the highest level. Cholzav, Zab is Tumah Yotzal and Megufa, but it's a little lower level, a little lower than the Mitzora. The Chotomi lo nofesh, that's Tumas Mago. So there are the three different machnas. All of the Tumayim, even Tumas Mago, is Mishtaleh Achutz Lamachna Shechina. They're not allowed to be in the Azorah. And as far as being in Harabayis, so only minator, only one who has a tumah hayotzol migufo is not allowed to enter Har Habayis. Let's say someone is a tomei meis, so minator they are permitted to be in the Har Habayis. But the rabbanon they divided Har Habayis into different sections, and the tomei meisim are not permitted to enter certain sections of the Har Habayis. And then the highest level of tumah hayotzol migufo is singled out by the chumash and not pasuk in chumash Bamidbar. Mitzora is not even allowed to be in Machne Yisrael, not even allowed to be in Yerushalayim. What are the differences in other areas, halacha? There are other differences between Tumas Mago and Tumah Hayotzol Megufay. So one of the differences is, Taisus claims, when you have a Korban Habo Betumah, we usually say Tumah is Muta Betzibur, if it's a Korban Tzibur, you're permitted to be makrevit even in the state of tuma. The Mishnah in Temurah points out that that's a little bit inaccurate. Rav Meir says in the Mishnah it doesn't really depend on whether it's a korban yochid or a korban sibur. Sometimes you have a korban sibur that's not bobet tuma. Sometimes you can have a korban yochid that is bobet tuma. Really depends. The Mishnah says it depends whether it's a korban shezmanu kavua or korban shein zmanu kavua. 99% of the korbanos tzibur as manam kavua. Tamidim u'masofim is manam kavua. If I don't bring the korban today, or have a yom, a bottle korban, I can't bring it tomorrow. So that's a korban shezmanu kavua. And usually, ruba deruba, 90% or 95% of the korbanos yochad are not manam kavua. If you don't bring it today, you can bring it tomorrow, bring it next month. There are some korbanos yochid. There are zmanam kavua. The chavit kain gadol. The kain gadol has to bring a minchas chavit in every single day of the year. And if he does bring today, he can't bring today's tomorrow. He has to bring tomorrow's tomorrow. So that's ova yoma batla korbanim. So the Mishnah says it doesn't really depend on a korban yochid versus korban tzibur. It's a little bit of misnomer when we say a korban tzibur is dechatuma. It doesn't really depend on tzibur versus yochid. It depends on zmanu kavua versus zain zmanu kavua. So the Mishnah says in Psachim, Korban Pesach is manu kavua. If you don't bring it on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, so you lost your opportunity. You can bring Pesach Sheni, but you can't bring it on Chol HaMoed. So Korban Pesach, if the Rav HaTzibur is Tomei, so then it's Bo Betumah. If a Miut is Tomei, so then there'll be Nitcha to Pesach Sheni. So the Mishnah says, when you have a Pesach HaBo Betumah, so only Tamei Mesim are permitted to eat the Korban Pesach. Zavin and Mitzorayim are not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach. So Tosis understood from that Mishnah, Tosis extrapolates from that Mishnah the Klal, that whenever you have a Korban Tzibur, Shezmanu Kavua, that's Dechatume, it's only Dechatumas Mago. If you're dealing with a Tumah Hayotzol Migufoi, that's not going to be Muta. The Rambam is more Machmer than Tosis. The Rambam's opinion is, the Tosis is so famous, people that never even realize that the Rambam disagree. So then it points out a shocking idea. If you look in the Rambam is beferish, not like Tosis. that only korban, only tumas meis is muta betzibo. Other tumas maga is also not muta betzibo. But that's a chiddush. That's a Rambam shita. But Taisus learns that any tumas maga will be muta betzibo, and tuma yatzal megufa is not muta betzibo. What are other differences? So there's a difference on the level of the rabbanon chalas chutzlort. The whole institution of chalas chutzlort only exists mid the rabbanon on the level of the raisa. The mitzvah of chala is for the mitzvah satluis baaretz, and it doesn't apply to chutzlorts at all. Mid the rabbanon, the tanoim introduced chalas chutzlorts. So the Gemara says in Bchoris, chalas chutzlorts may be eaten by a kohen, even if he's tamei, provided he only has a tumas maga. If he has a tumah hayotza lemeglufay, then he's not allowed to eat chalas chutzlorts. The chala itself, even if the chala is tamei, let's say the one who needed the dough was tamei, so he was matami the chala. So that's tumas maga. That's only tumas maga. So that would be mutter. And if the one, the kohen who wants to eat the chalas chutzlorts is tamei, let's say he's a balkeri or whatever, he didn't go to mikveh, so if balkeri is a question, whether balkeri is a tumas maga, tumas yotzal megufoy, that's a major machlokes of Rishonim on the first daf in Baba Kama. Shita Mukubetzis on the first daf comments, the Gemara on the first daf in Baba Kama quotes a Mishnah from Taras. Ovas atumah hasheretz vashich vazera vahatomei meis. So here for the Rishonim claim, why does the Mishnah say Sheikh Vazera, why doesn't it say the Balkari? So it would appear the Balkari is not an Avatum, it's only a Rishon Latuma. That the Sheikh Vazera is an Avatuma, and the Balkari is Tomei Tumas Maga. And other Rishonim disagree, no, the Balkari is an Avatuma. It's a Tuma Yotzal Megufar. It's not that the Tuma is transmitted through Maga, because the Sheikh Vazera is touching the body of the Balkari, and it transmits the Tuma. No, the Balkari is an Avatuma. So that's a Machlekes HaRishonim. Some of the Gedolei Achrayim want to say that it's really a machlokes hatanoim. It would appear that it is a machlokes hatanoim. So the din is, let's say, if the kohen, let's say the kohen's father died, so he went to the funeral. Kohenim usually not allowed to be metamei lemeisim. What if it's one of the seven relatives who went to the funeral? We don't have paraduma water, so the kohen doesn't have the ability to be metamei himself. Would the kohen be permitted to eat chalas chutzlorts? If that's the only problem, that he has tumas meis, so chalas chutzlorts he would be allowed to eat. He's only prohibited from eating chalas chutzlorts if he has a tumah hayotza ala migufa. So they pattern this, called the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa tikkun. They pattern this distinction along the lines of the dinim deraisa, that in dinim deraisa there is a difference between tumas maga and tumah hayotza ala migufa with respect to eating korban pesach. That zabin and mitzarayim are not permitted to eat the pesach haba betumah. But one who has only a tumas mago, that's how Tosfos understood the Mishnah, would be permitted to eat korban pesach. There are other differences also between tumas mago and tumah yotzal lemigufay. Tosfos in Baba Kama and Daf Yud Aleph and Med Aleph, and Gemara Baba Kama happens to quote a Mishnah from Maseches Nida that if a woman was pregnant and the uber comes out prematurely, and you're not sure whether there's any tumah over there or not, whether there's tumas yoledes or not. So the Mishnah says that if there's one sofik, you go lahachmer, sofik deraisa luchumer, and if it's a svek sveka, then you have a right to go lekula. So Tosfos and all the Rishonim are bothered with Akasha, that's usually the rule, sofik deraisa luchumer, and svek sveka deraisa is lekula. But by tumah, that's the one exception to the rule, that it doesn't depend on one sofik, as opposed to several sveikas. The klal is, it depends whether it's bishus hayochid or bishus harabim. Sofik tuma bishus hayochid is sveika tomei, even if you have a svek svek sveika. Afil ati yochel aharbis kama sveikas, that's the halacha. Sofik tuma bishus hayochid is sveika tomei vadai. Not only sofik tuma, sveika tomei vadai. And the sofik tuma bishus harabim is tohar, even if it's only one sofik. You don't say sofik deraisa luchum. So that's what all the Rishonim ask. Why does the Mishnah say by the Yoledes, it's a Sofik if she's a Yoledes or not? So if there's one Sofik, you go to Chumra. If it's a Sfek Sfek, you go to Kula. But by Tumah, it should depend whether the Sofik, the latest Sofik, occurred Bishus HaYochid or Bishus HaRabim. So the Tosfos in Bava Kama Yud Aleph and Med Aleph gives one answer, and the Shita Mukubetzis gives a different answer. Tosfos on the first daf, indeed, he gives the both answers. It's two opinions and a Balei HaTosfos. Tosfos and another Masechtas, and Nozer also has the two opinions. So the Tosfos in Bava Kamma Yud Aleph and Aleph gives the one answer that the rules that Sofik Tumah B'shul Sayochet Sveka Tomei Vada, even if it says Svek Svek Sveka, and B'shul Sarab Mistohar, that's been a gear to Dine Tumah V'Tara. And the Mishnah and Taras that the Gemara quoted, that's been a gear Labailo. And again, need the labailo or yaled this labailo. That's a regular din of iser. I don't treat that as tuma. The din that the yaled this is asur labailo. The din that a need and a zava are asuras labailo is not a function of the fact that the woman is tmeya. That you should say we're going to paskenize the sofik tuma, depending whether it's b'shus ayochad or b'shus arabim, and then the meilu shall either be muteris labailo or asur labailo. They're two independent sveikas. There's one dion. Whether the woman is an Ida Lataris, there's another Dian, whether the woman is an Ida Labailo. So that's what Tosfos writes. And Tosfos holds that the Din of Sofek, Tuma B'shus Ayochet versus B'shus Arabim, when you get to Hilchas Tuma, would depend whether, that it depends B'shus Ayochet B'shus Arabim, would even apply to Nida and Yoledis as well. Just when you get to Taris, we'll paskan that it depends whether B'shus Ayochet but Labailo or not. The Shita Mekubetzes gives the other answer, and the Tais in the first daf in Nidna and Nazir, beginning of Perek Shnei Nazir and the Nazir, that the other Rishonim give a different answer, that the Kalole HaPsak of Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid versus B'Shus HaRabim only apply to Tumas Mago, to Tumah Yotzel HaMegufay. There is no Kalal. That the special Kalal of Sofik Tumah doesn't apply. We apply the regular klalim, that if there's one sofik is sveka deraisa l'chumra, and if it's a svek sveka, then it's svek sveka l'kulam. So that's a fundamental machlokes of Rishonim, whether the klali hapsak, a sofik tumah, b'shus hayochid, b'shus haram, it's a different way to paskin. It's a different way to paskin. That's what the Vilna Goyen is quoted as having said, that there are three different areas in halacha. There's tumah v'tara, there's zisa v'heter, and there's dini mamanis. The pasuk says, and if you have a machlokes which you can't resolve and it's causing friction in the community, we go to the Bez Nagol, whatever they say is binding. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon and Aderes Aliyahu. The Sefer Aderes Aliyahu was written by the Talmidei HaGrob, but it's quoted by many Talmidim of the Grob in connection with various psukim that he said there are three different areas in halacha. There's dam le dam, that's isa v'heta. Be nega le nega, it's tumah v'tara. And be din le din is dini mamanis. There are three different areas of halacha. And in each area of halacha, the way to paskin in the makom sofik is totally different. By dam le dam, by isa v'heta, the klal is sofik deraisa l'chumra, svek svek l'kula. They negola nega tumah v'tara, so we have a different way to pass the b'shul sayachad versus b'shul sayrabim, and then being din ledin and din imamin is there, we have a totally different way to pass in that. Sofik deraisa l'kula on behalf of the muchzak, amatzimach ve'ol of harayim. So the three different areas of halacha. So many rishonim are of the opinion that the klali hapsak of sofik tumah b'shul sayachad versus b'shul sayrabim even applies to tumah hayotzo ala migufay as well. But they all agree, that's what there's a sefer main avtoach. The Rambam wrote a long hakdama in Pirush HaMishnayos L'Taras. He has a whole hakdama. And some of the maskilim wrote that if all we would have had from the Rambam, we have so many things from the Rambam. We have the Mishnah Torah, and you have the Pirush HaMishnayos, some of the other things. If the only thing we would have had would have been the hakdama to Taras, we would have realized that the Rambam was the God Lador in his generation. Each one of the Svarim that he wrote, just the Hagdama alone is fantastic. So the main Avtech is a commentary written by one of the Gdolim over 100 years ago. It's a commentary just on the Hagdama of Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Seder Taras. So he points out there, from sources in Gemaris and Rishonim, that by Marsho and Chulin, in the first parak, he points out, by Rishonim say it already, that even if one should assume that the Kalali HaPsak of Sofik Tumah B'Shul Sayachid B'Shul Sayrabim even apply to Tumas Tumah Yotza Alamigufay, but to Mitzorah for sure they don't apply. For Mitzorah, the Mishnah is like that. By Mitzorah you don't say that this depends whether the latest asafik was b'shusay achad or b'shusay rabim. Why is that so? Why should mitzora be different? We know mitzora is more chomer than the other tmeim, that is mishtalech even chutz l'shalosh machnas. He may not even be in Yerushalayim. The other tmeim who have tumah yotzei l'megufa are not allowed to enter harabais. And the mitzora is not even allowed to enter Yerushalayim, or for that matter, all our yoros hamakovas chayma limos Yeshua benun. So we know there is a difference that the mitzora is mochamah. Why should we say that there's a difference here? What's the svar lachalik that by mitzora for sure mishnah is like that? Mitzora for sure the klali hapsak of safik tuma b'shusay yachad versus b'shusay rabim don't apply, even if all that they do apply to all the other tmeim who have tuma yotzei l'megufam. So the main aftarech explains why. By mitzora, the pasuk says, let's say, azav, zav, yoledes, and mitzora, leave out mitzora. All the other tuma yotzei l'megufay, if the person is azav, he's tummy, automatically. So it's a sofik tuma. The tutz dori has sofik are, is he tummy, is he tahor? Or if the mitzora, or if the person is azav, zav, anido, yoledes, so it's a sofik, is the person tummy, is the person tahor? By mitzora, he's not tummy until the coin declares that he's tummy. And if he is Tomei, and the Negatzaras disappears, he doesn't become Tor until he goes through the whole ritual, till he brings all the Karbanos and everything, then the Kohen declares him as Tor. So by Mitzor, it's not really called the Sofik Tuma. The Tutz Dari has Sofik, and not is he Tomei, is it Tor. For sure he's Tor. The Sofik is he Tor, and there's a mitzvah that, for the Kohen to declare that he's Tomei, or is he Tor, and there's no mitzvah in the Kohen to declare that he's Tomei. So that's not called the Sofik Tuma. Sofik Tuma means if the Tutz Dari has Sofik Ar, is he tummy? Is he tor? So by mitzora for sure, the klali hapsak of sofik tuma b'shusayachad versus b'shusarab for sure don't apply. And the machlekes harishanim is what about by the other tmeim with tuma yotzei megufay, whether the klali hapsak of sofik tuma b'shusayachad apply or not? The parsha begins with the yoledes. The yoledes is one of the four mechusri kapor. That's the name of the second perik in Maseches Krisis. Arboa Mechusri Kapor. A Mechusri Kapor means like this. Anyone who learned brachas, the first daf, the Beis Amin Alf, the Gemara brachas quotes a Mishnah that if a person is tummy, he goes to mikveh, so he comes out of the mikveh, he's allowed to eat Maiser Sheni. A person who's tummy is not permitted to eat Maiser Sheni. When you recite Vidui Maiser on Erev Pesach of the fourth year, on Erev Pesach of the seventh year, Shmita year, so he's supposed to say, Lo bi'arti b'man and b'tomi. I didn't eat my sushane in a state of tuma. I didn't consume, Lo bi'arti b'man, I didn't consume the my sushane in a state of tuma. So if the Gemara says, Tobol b'yola, echol b'maisa. If he goes to the mikveh, he's allowed to eat my sushane, he's tohar. If he's a kohen and he wants to eat truma, forget about my sushane, the kohen wants to eat truma, Tobol b'yola, he's not allowed to eat truma till he has harav shemesh. That's the first Mishnah in Brachas. It says Shemish v'tahir. It says a few times. Even after a person is tummy for 10 years and he finally goes to the mikveh, he could have gone to mikveh 9.5 years ago. He finally goes to the mikveh after 10 years of remaining with tummy. He has to wait till Harav Shemesh following his going to the mikveh when he wants to eat truma. And if he wants to eat kachim, so there are certain cases where even after tefillin in the mikveh, and even after Harav Shemesh, he's still considered tummy. He's not permitted to eat kachim. He's not permitted to enter the azara until he brings a korban. So that's called abo mechusir kapar. There are four tmeim who have to bring a korban to complete their tahara procedure. Who are the four? So psuk hamechumish. You have the yoledes and the mitzora. They're both in today's sedra. And Tazriya Mitzorah, and then the other two also in today's Sedra, and Mitzorah, the Zava and the Zava. The Zava, the Zava, Yoledim, and Mitzorah, they have to bring Korbanis to complete their Tahara procedure. The Mishnah there in Abon Mechusi Kapora quotes that there are another two Korbanis that is similar to Mechusi Kippurim, but it's not exactly the same. It's a Korban, see over here by the Abon Mechusi Kapora, the Zav, Zava, Yoledim, and Mitzorah, the Korban completes the Tahara procedure. The other two are not that they complete a tahara procedure, but the korban serves as a matir, or completes some other procedure. So one is the ger. A ger, if a man wants to convert, so he has to have mila, he has to have tefillah, and then he has to, men or women have to have a korban. The Gemara increases daftesim and aleph, that's in the second perik increases, the beginning of perik abom mechusik kapar. That's why some of the laws of geris are there, because the Mishnah says that a ger, in a certain sense, it's like a Mechusi Kippurim. Whoever is Mizgair today, anyone who's Mizgar today is obligated to bring a korban when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. If they live so long, they should all live so long. They should all be zeichet to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And Kozman, they don't bring the korban, their geiris is incomplete. With respect to what is the geiris incomplete, you can mitzaref him to the minyan, he can be the Baal Tefila, he can get an aliyah, but the geiris is incomplete in that he's not allowed to eat korbanos. Just like there's a din in B'chusi Kippurim, is not allowed to eat korbanos till he completes his tahara procedure by bringing the korban, the zabzavi, aledus, and mitzaref. So the geir, Kozmani doesn't bring the korban hageiris, an oilah. Korban oilah, his geiris is incomplete. And the additional person, so in addition to the four temeim, the Mishnah and the Gemara discuss the additional two sort of mechusi kapar. The other one is the nazir. When a person is mekabel neder naziris, he wants to be a nazir for a year. From lagbaima to lagbaima. Comes next year lagbaima, so the naziris is up. So he has to bring the karbonis. After he brings all the karbonis, then he's allowed to violate the laws of naziris, even though the zman of the naziris is up, even though it's already a month after the zman of the naziris is up. Because when he does bring the karbonis serve as a matir. So in that sense, in a certain sense, the karbonis of the nazir are also a mechusri kapara. The Gemara in the Dorim on Laman Ham and Beis has a difference halacha lemaisa between karbonis that are brought for the purpose of mechusri kapara, a carbon that serves as a matir, as a metahir, as opposed to all the other normal, regular karbonis. The Gemara says there, Hakol tzrich medas chutz mi mechusri kapara. Whenever a korban, let's say, my next neighbor is a very poor man, he took upon himself a neder, he's going to bring a korban oil, a korban shlomit, whatever. Well, I know by mistake he was mechal Shabbos and he has to bring a korban chatos, and he can't afford to bring it. So he's trying to schnorr money from all of the neighbors. They should help him out to buy a korban chatos. So I want to do him a favor. So I go to the gizman, the Beis HaMikdash, I give him $500, and I say, be makrib, the korban chatos, the korban oil, or whatever, for my next neighbor, he's a poor man, and send him a letter that it was taken care of so he doesn't have to worry about it. Matan b'seisim. So the Gemara says, that's no good. Hakol tzrichim das. Whenever a korban is offered on behalf of someone, the fellow has to be aware. When does he have to be aware? That's a whole discussion in the Gemara and Erechin. When do you need the das? B'shas ha-kdoshas ha-korban or b'shas ha-kravas ha-korban? That's a detailed question. It's a major detail, but that's a detailed question. But in principle, the klal is, hakol tzrichim das, all regular korbanos need the das of the bala korban, the one on whose behalf the korban is being offered. He should know b'shas ha-kravas that is being offered, except for mechusri kapara. So the Gemara says, shikain, let's say there's a family, husband and a wife, and they have little children. So one of the children before bar mitzvah, so alpidin, they're not b'nei da. So let's say one of the children became a zav, zava, mitzvah, whatever. A little child became a mitzvah, and then the tzaras went away, and he was cured. But the kid is going to be tomei up until they're going to bring the korban. So you have to wait till the kid becomes bar mitzvah. How could that be? You have to wait till the kid. So the Gemara says, no, she came on and made the korban al banav b'nos of aktanin. The parents can bring korbanos on behalf of their children because the korbanos are for the purpose of mechusir kippurim. So the korban that serves as a matir, that does need das. That does need das ban. The Mishnah in Krisis has the following. Let's say my wife had, Baruch Hashem, 9 babies. So in the Beis HaMikdash, we should live so long, we should be zechet to see the Beis HaMikdash, and my wife will be obligated to bring 9 sets of korbanos. So the Mishnah says, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, all the women in the world who had babies will be running to bring all the karbanas. So my wife had 9. Some people had 15 children. So it's going to be taking all day and all night. All night, no good. The karbanas have to be brought in the daytime. So let's say they say, one to a customer, come, the first day we'll let you bring 1 karban. All the women are coming. Whoever had a baby is going to come. Whoever will be alive at that time had a baby will come. So the Mishnah says, once the Yoledis brings the first korban, HaYoledis, that removes the tumah. She's allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. She's allowed to eat korban Pesach. B'hashara le'achayva, but the remaining 9 sets of korbanos, that's a mitzvah. She has to bring them all, but for the purpose of Mechusir Kippurim, the first set of korbanos that she brought, that removes all of the tumah, and she's allowed to eat korban Pesach. And the Mora increases, gives a moshel amad of a daima. Let's say a person every day goes to the A&P and picks up a package of nevela meat. So nevela meat is matami b'maga b'masa, if you have a kazayis. So the person picks up on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the person became tamei 6 times. And then the person wants to go to mikveh. Does he have to dip into the mikveh 6 times? No, there's 6 reasons why he's tamei. But he's only tamei once. So he goes to the mikveh once, and finished. That removes all the tumah. So my wife had 9 babies, so there are 9 reasons why she's tamei tumas yoledes. When she brings the first set of karbanas, that removes the whole tumas yoledes. But the karbanas of the yoledes, in addition to serving like a procedure of tahara, it's mitahir, it's also a mitzvah. You have to fulfill the mitzvah. So hashara la'achayva, she has to bring the remaining 8 sets of karbanas.
What's the reason behind why yoledes, there is even tumah? Is it similar to like the amida, like just because the blood when a woman gives birth?
What's the reason? I don't know. It's a good question. Some say that it has to do, I think, some of the Farshim say it has to do with a woman who's a nida, means that the eggs that could have fertilized to become a baby left her body, so it's like a mace is metame, so dama nida's metame means that there was an opportunity of life and it was lost. And when the woman is pregnant with the baby, then the baby leaves. The baby's alive. Well, the 9 babies are alive, but a chunk of life left her. So she's missing part of the life that was with her. Some say it's all connected. Tumas nida and tumas yoledes are connected with tumas ames. It has to do with life and death. There are different suggestions given, but the nature of the tumah is unrelated to what the reason. Time of the cross is important to know, but it's really unrelated. The pasuk says that the yoledes has to bring a set of karbanos. She has to bring echad li'ola ve'echad lachatos. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Tzadik Amar Aleph. Tzadik Amar Aleph is the beginning of Perek Kol HaTodir. It says there Kol HaTodir mechaver kodem lechaver. Todir b'shena todir todir kodem. Mekudish ve'in mekudish mekudish kodem. Let's say there are 2 people in the Beis Hamikdash. One says I have to bring a karban oila. One says I have to bring a karban shlamim. They both came to Vasacha. So the one who wants to bring a carbon oil, that's a kochim kochim. The one who wants to bring a carbon shlamim, that's a kochim kalim. So kol ha-mekudish mechaver, kodem lechaver. There's a seder kedimus. And then there's a rule, tori b'sheina, tori, tori kodem. If they have 2 people in the Beis HaMikdosh, and one wants to bring a carbon that's todir, that's brought very often. One wants to bring a carbon that's not so todir. So tori b'sheina, tori, tori kodem. So the Gemara there is talking about seder kedimus. So we have a din, Mishnais have a din. Whenever you have a chatas habo ima oilo, there's a set of korbanos, a chatas but an oilo. So the chatas is kodemis la oilo. There are some exceptions to the rule. So here it says in the Chumash Vaker, it says she hikrid echad li alo vi echad la chatas. How can it be echad li alo vi echad la chatas? It's supposed to be chatas kodemis la oilo. So Rashi quotes the question from the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, la hikdima hakosu. It's not true that you bring the oilo first. Truth of the matter, you bring the chatos first. So why does it say echad li alav echad lachatos lehigdim hakosuv ela limikra'a? The pasuk only writes the oila before the chatos for the purposes of mikra'a. What mazeh mikra'a? So the Taisus there discusses different pshatim on tzadik and aleph and zvachim. The Samishanim say when the Balkari reads kriyas hatayra, he should read oila first. That's the way the pasuk reads. So why does it say it first? I mean, it's inaccurate. Inaccurate. So why is it written like that? It's problematic. So Tesis quotes one Mechudish Dikashita Lahigdim Hakasa Ela Limikra'a means when the Yoledes has to be Magdish, the two, the proper Seder Hagdasha should be she should first be Magdish the Oila, then afterwards be Magdish the Chatos, and then when she brings them to the Beis HaMikdash, the coin should be Makriv the Chatos first, and then Makriv the Oila. That's a Mechudish Dikashita that you have to be, there's a Seder in Hagdasha. Usually we assume that Hagdasha is just, let's say some Achrayim say, the Shari Tshuva quotes this next to the Beheter. How does it say, Lekachtam lechem v'yem arishin, priye sodar v'kapest mar v'anaf eitzobis v'arvi nachal. So some Achrayim came up with the Chiddush, that just like it says, Ekshartam lo sal yadecha v'hoyeru tatovis b'nei necho, the Gemara says, first, if you have both the shal yad and the shal rosh, first you put on the shal yad, then afterwards you put on the shal rosh, because that's the way the Seder is written in the Chumash, that the Gemara makes that Rosha, so to over here, well, l'kach nachama yoshim priyei tzadah, first you should pick up the Esrog, and only afterwards pick up the Lulav. If you pick up the lula first, then the yeser, you'll be yotze b'dieved. If you put on first the shal rosh, then the shal yad, you'll be yotze b'dieved. But there's a seder kedima, l'chatchila, the first pick up the esrog, and then pick up the lulav. So we understand there's a seder kedima if you're performing various mitzvahs. So we have rules and regulations, tada v'shena tadir, tada kad, mekudish v'en mekudish, mekudish kolam. Whenever you have a series of karbanos, chatos and oilo, chatos kademis li'olo. But to say in the Hagdosha, you should be Magdish, is there a Seder you should first buy the Esrog and then buy the Lulav? Doesn't matter which one you buy first. That's not a mitzvah. That's just a Hechshem mitzvah. So why should it make a difference? One opinion in Taisus says, Lahigdim Hakos Ve'ela Limikro, means when the Oledis is Magdish, the two karbanos, the proper Seder Kedim should be first to be Magdish the Oilo, then to be Magdish the Chata. So that Shita seems to be assuming quite a mechudish dike premise that hakdoshas hakorban is tchilas hamitzvah. It's not just like buying the lulav in the esrog, which is only hechshem mitzvah. This is haschalas kiyum hamitzvah.
Why does Tosfos think that when mikra means
mikra means the kriya shem when I declare this should be an oil. Yeah, mikra oh, the kriya shem of the korban. Yeah. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay about this in one of his svarim. Should we assume that Hakdoshas HaKorban is Tchilas HaKapora? Or should you assume, no, it's not Tchilas HaKapora, just the Hechshem Mitzvah? So he brings quite a few rayas. He doesn't bring this rayas, he brings other rayas. The Gemara says, there's a pasuk in Novi, Kachu Tzom Kiru Atzora. The Gemara says, if a person fasts on a tainis, but he wasn't mekabel atainus. The Gemara said, if you're not mekabel atainus in advance, there's some tainus where you don't have to be mekabel Yom Kippur, you don't have to be mekabel, that's a chim and a ter. Tisha B'Av, there's a chim and the Rabbanan, the fast. And then if you want to have a tainus yachid, so you have to be mekabel tainus. If a person fasted and he wasn't mechuyim in a Torah, was mechuyim in the Rabbanan, he never took another tainus, so the Gemara says, there's no kiyum atonus. It's only considered a kiyum mitzvah atonus, If you're mechuyev to fast, either mechuyev min haTorah the Rabbanan, or you're mechuyev, you accepted a neder tainus. So the pasuk uses an expression. Shartanios min asar b'tevis am gedalia. So the Shulchan Aruch has a machlekes, the mechaber and the Ramah, reflecting the machlekes of Rishonim. So mechaber says you have to, just like before Bahab, the Chazan says a tefillah in shul on Shabbos, and he gives a bracha to all those who are going to fast Sheni v'Chamishi v'Sheni, so everybody in shul answers Amen. So those people who plan to fast say Amen with mekabel the tainus. Those people who plan not to fast say Amen, a bracha on the heads of, or a blessing on the heads of all the people, do plan to fast. And those who plan to fast, they're all mekabel tainus when they say Amen. That's the Kabbalah Satinus. The Ramah disagrees. The Chabad says you just don't have to be Makabal Tainus for Yom Kippur and for Tisha B'Av and for Tainus Esther. These three don't need a Kabbalah. Tainus Esther is a Chayvah. But all the others, Shivasa B'Tamas, Asar B'Teva, some Gedalia, you have to have Kabbalah and the Minig by the Svardim. The Mechaber, the Minig by the Svardim is that they make a Kabbalah on Shabbos before. And the Ramah disagrees and he says no. The Rishonim quoted from the Halachas Gedalah is that even though the other Taneisim, Asar B'Tevish, Shivasa B'Tamas, Am Gedalia, Bizman Azeh, depend on Ratzim, Misanim, Ratzim, Misanim, it's optional. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to. So nonetheless, the Halachas Gedalia writes, Krash of you, Allah Yechoiva. So the Mechaber understands, Krash of you, Allah Yechoiva, the minig is that we're Mechabal, the minig is we're Mechabal Tainus. The Ramah understood, the minig is that we're Mechuyif to fast, Mitam Minig. The minig is Mechaibas to fast. You have a Chiyif to fast, Min HaTorah. On Yom Kippur, you have a chiyuv to fast mit the Rabbanan on Tisha B'Av, then you have a chiyuv to fast mitam minig on Asar B'Tevet Tzom Gedalia. Then if you are mekabel and neder tainus to fast before you get married or to fast on a yahrzeit, so then it's a chiyuv to fast mitam nidrei tainus. But whenever you're not mechuyev to fast and you fast, then there's no kiyum atonus, the Gemara says. You also mechuyev. You mechuyev to be mosif mechol al hakodesh. The person has to be mekabel tosefes Yom Kippur. Yeah, he has to be mekabel tosefes. Doesn't have to be mekabel the tonus of Yom Kippur. He has to be mekabel tosefes. That is correct. Otherwise, not mekayim the mitzvah of tosefes. Yeah. So the pasuk uses an expression, kachu tzom, kiru atzora. We should declare the day in advance as a yom tainus. The bezin has to be goyiz a tainus, or a yochid has to be mekabel tainus. If they're not goyiz a tainus, so there's no kiyum tainus.
It says in Shulchan Aruch that you can fast the Rosh Hashanah and you don't need
because the minig was so widespread that everybody fasted, even Ketanim would fast on every Yom Kippur half a day, say Mechuyev Mitam Minig to fast, if that's clearly the minig. If it's not clearly the minig, not. So the Gemara tells a story, Maseches Tainus, that on one occasion the Nochrim made a gzeira against the Bnei Yisrael. So the Rabbanim always have the solution, we're going to be guys of Tainus, and we're going to undo the gzeira. So the Nochrim knew this stunt. The rabbis are going to be goyzer at times. So they were goyzer, they made a gzeira that the Jews are not allowed to fast. They're not allowed to fast. So what are they going to do? They're going to catch you fasting, they're going to beat you up, they're going to put you in prison. So the rabbanim decided, we're going to be mekabel tainus, after everything, we're going to be mekabel tainus, that after everything will be straightened out, we'll fast then. So the Gemara says, and their prayers were answered. Because the pasuk says in, where does it say? In Daniel. From Daniel was mekabel tainus. So from the day that he accepted upon himself the tainus, his prayers were answered already. He didn't even fast. He just was mekabel tainus. So the Gemara says, kabbalas ha-tainus is already a kapara. So the Gemara says, on the occasion when the Malchus HaRoshua made exera against the Jews, and they made exera, you're not allowed to fast, and if they catch you fasting, they'll put you in prison. So they took a neder tainus to fast after everything will be straightened out, after communism will collapse, they'll fast then. And the Kabbalah's neder tainus was already mechaper even before they actually fasted. So that Gemara also seems to indicate that Kabbalah's tainus is like kachut som, it's like hakdoshas hakorban. Just like you have to be magdish a korban, you can't be makrif chulin on the mizbech, you have to first be magdish the korban and then makrif it. So fasting is considered like a korban. Miat chel bevidami should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if I had offered the chel bevidam on the mizbeach. So kabbalas ned atainis, kabbalas atainis is parallel to the hakdoshas hakorban. So you see from that Gemara also that hakdoshas hakorban is taka the tchilas hakapar. Rabbi Yosef Engel brings more complicated rise, but these are two easy rise from the opinion in the Tosfos in Zvachim Daf Tzadik. And from that story in Tainus, that if you, from the time that you mekabel the neder Tainus, it already begins a bit, already brings a bit of a kapara. We know we have a din. Let's say Rachmana Letzlan, someone is sitting shiva, so we say they observe a little bit of shiva on the morning of the seventh day, and we apply the rule Miktzas Hayom Kukulay. Machlokes in the Tanaim, and that's how he passed. And the same thing on the 30th day, the person observes a little bit of Avelus Shloshim the morning of the 30th day, and then the Avelus terminates. Mixes Hayom Kukulay. We assume the whole din of Shiva, even according to some Rishonim, Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa, but the Shiva, the rest of the Shiva, is only with the Rabbanan. So the whole application, the whole din of Mixes Hayom Kukulay by Avelus on the seventh day and on the 30th day is Midir Rabbanim, but the principle of Mikzah and Kekula is the principle of their Eiser. The Gemara applies it to a Nazir. Let's say a man accepts upon himself a Ned and Naziris for 30 days, or for 100 days. Comes the morning of the 100th day, so there's a whole Machlekes in the Gemara, and we pass on that you say Mikzah Sayyam Kekula. The morning of the 100th day, he can say Mikzah Sayyam Kekula. He doesn't have to observe Naziris the whole day. Where did they get this idea from that they say Mikzah Sayyam Kekula? So it's based on the Pasuk. In the end of Parshas Metzora, the pasuk talks about the zava. So the zava needs shiva nekiyim. So the pasuk says v'safar lo shivas yamim v'achar titar. What do you mean v'achar titar? V'safar lo shivas yamim. She needs shiva nekiyim v'titar. So v'achar titar means achamaisa titar. If she'll make a bedika in the morning of the seventh day, then you can call it quits. She can go to mikveh the morning of the seventh day and apply the rule of mikzayim kukula. So the mocker of the institution of Mikzas Hayom Kukula by Avelus is only the Rabbanan. By Nazir, it's the Raisa. And the Mokar is this Pasuk here. The Gemara applies Mikzas Hayom Kukula by Nidui also. Let's say they put a person in Cherim for 30 days, for 60 days, whatever. So the Gemara says, we would say on the last day of the Cherim, just like Cherim, Nidui is also like Avelus. They declare that Chayrim is a curse that the person should drop dead. Chayrim is the Gemara says, it's not a balaturim. The Gemara says, the word Chayrim is Osiyas Ramach, a curse that should be chal on the 248 of Arm, she dropped dead. So if they put a person in a Chayrim, then they matter the Chayrim. So the Hatoras HaChayrim is like a Tchias HaMesim. When they put him in a Chayrim, that's like a Gemara Din Lemisa. And the din is that the one who's in Chayrim has to observe Abelus for himself. That's how the Netziv explains in his beer on the Shiltas.
How can you take back a curse for the guy who's dropped dead? If you curse him, he's dropped dead.
We make a Tchias HaMesim. The Bezna has the ability to declare him as a Gabrik Tila, and then they also have the ability to curse him. The Torah gave him the Kach, so the Torah gave him the Kach. Don't do it. So the Gemara in Moed Katan, the third parak of Moed Katan, the Gemara says, if the Bezin put a person in Cherem for 30 days, 80 days, whatever, on the last day of the Cherem, you can say Mikzus Hayam Kukul. It's all based on this pasuk, the Achat Titar. So the Gemara says, M'sochem Adav Tzadik on the base, Kol Chai B'Tfilas Tovlim Bayoim. All the people who are Tomei, Azav, Azav, whenever you need Shivin Akiyim, so you can always apply Mikzus Hayam Kukul, except for two people. Chutz B'Nidah V'Yoledes, Shetfilosam Balayla. The Nidah, Azava needs Shivin Akim. Anita does need Shivin Akim. Let's say a woman becomes Anita on Thursday morning, so she's Tmeya till next Wednesday night. Let's say a woman becomes Anita a minute before Shkia on Thursday afternoon. So Thursday is one day, then she's Tmeya through next Wednesday, so she goes to Mikveh next Wednesday night, whether all the days were Tomei or not. Shivin Akim is only by Azava, not by Anita. So by the Nida, you don't say Mikzayam Kukula. She has to wait till the end of the full 7 days. And by Yoledes also, the Pasuk says in the beginning of the parashi, Ki mei Nidas Devoisa Titma. That just like by the Nida, you don't allow Mikzayam Kukula. So by the Yoledes also, if the woman gives birth to a baby boy, so she's Tamea 7 days. If she gives birth to a baby girl, then she's Tamea for 14 days. So you have to wait till the night following the 14 days or the night following the 8 days, and then she can go to mikveh, and then she needs Harav Shem, and she has to wait till the night following that night if she's interested in eating truma. If she's a Kohenis or an Eshes Kohen, she's interested in eating truma, then she has to have Harav Shem after that. Why is that so? How come by Nidon Yoledes you don't apply the rule of Mikzayim Kukulai? It's a universal rule that applies to Naziris and applies to Avelis. Applies to so many different cases, so why shouldn't it apply here? So the Pashtus is that Mikzayim Hayom Kukulai doesn't mean that it's enough, we call it quits. You just the day ends. The day didn't end. The day goes to the end of the day. So Leitchik used to say, let's say the Oval, if he wants to, he can terminate the Avelis the morning of the seventh day. What if the person feels so distraught, he wants to observe Shiva for 10 days? He wants to sit Shiva for 10 days. That's not the word Shiva means seven. He wants to observe Shiva for 10 days. So that's ridiculous. There's no kiyum. He wants to cry, let him cry. Okay. But the Shiva is only for the 7 days. So what if he wants to observe Shiva till the end of the seventh day? Do you say, whether you like it or not, Mikzayim Kukula? No, Mikzayim Kukula is a din. If you want to, if the Nozi wants to, he can break off, he can terminate the Naziris the morning of the 30th day, whatever, 100th day. If he wants to, he can bring the Karbonis. If the Zaba wants to, she can make a Bedika the morning of the seventh day and call it quits. If you want to, but if you don't want to, then you observe till the end of the whole day. Observe Shiva till the end of the day. There is a kiyum observing. This is optional if the person wants to. So this halacha, miktam kukula, means if you do a miktas kiyum, when there's a nihug, the oval has to observe avelis. There's a nihug avelis during Shiva. There's a lighter form of nihug avelis during shloshim. A person who's in nidu yacherim is observing avelis for himself. So there's a nihug avelis that he has to observe. So mikzas nihug is sufficient on the last day. By the zava, she has to make a bedika on the last day. So if she does the bedika in the morning, maspik, she did it. But by the nida, there's nothing they have to do. There is no nihug. By the oledis, there is no nihug. There's nothing you have to do. You just have to wait 7 days. What are you going to say? Mikzas hayom kukula. As long as he waited till the morning of the seventh day, what? The seventh day is over. The 14th day by your lettuce nekeva. The day is not over till the end of the day. Mikzayim kukula is a din. If you do the nihug, acha maisa titar. You have to do some maisa hanhoga. So by the lettuce and by the nido, there is no maisa. There is no hanhoga that you have to do. That's why it's not shaykh to say mikzas hayom kukula. By avelis yid becherish also it says. You don't apply Mikzayim Kukula to the last day. Let's say a person, Moshe Rabbeinu, died on Zayin Adar. So let's say the Baruch Shalom buried him. Okay, on Zayin Adar. So let's say his children are observing Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh, it ends on the 12th month, ends on Vav Adar next year. So would you say Mikzeim Kekula the morning of Vav Adar? So it says in the Mechaber, you don't apply Mikzeim Kekula. So the official reason that they give in Shulchan Aruch, I think they quote the Trumas Hadeshen, if I'm not mistaken. So the official reason they give is that Mikzeim Kekula only applies when you're working with units of days, like Shiva, Shloshim, Zab Zava. A person is in Nidui for a number of days. So that's you working with units of days. But Yud Beis Chodesh, you're working with units of months. So the whole halacha Mikzeim Kekula doesn't apply over there. So I thought maybe you can explain it differently. And then people told me that Rav Soloveitchik said like that, that by Avelis of Yud Beis Chodesh there is no Nihug. Shiva there's Nihug Bikum V'yaseh. Shloshim there's a little less Nihug Bikum V'yaseh. Yud Beis Chodesh, there's no Nihug Bikum V'yaseh at all. It's only Miut Tanugim. He has to cut back. He's not allowed to do it. There are Isurim, but there are no mitzvahs. There's nothing you have to do Bikum V'yaseh. And the Yud Beis Chodesh, and then it's not shach to say Mikzus Hayom Kekulai. He didn't do any Nihug. The only time you apply Mikzem Kekulai when you have some kind of a Nihug. So the Nihug done on the beginning of the last day is Maspik. You did enough Nihug. And then if you want to, you can call it quits.
Wouldn't he have been there on
Shabbos Shloshim? The Nihugim Moab Shevi Altase, yeah. Let's say you fast, a person doesn't do Malacha on Yontif. So he's observing Losasa Kol Malacha. Kol Malacha is Havoida Losasa. But the Rambam says that one who abstains from Malacha, I raise a key in Mitzvah Sase. Sometimes you have a key in my Mitzvah B'Shevi Altase. That's a person fasts on Yom Kippur. So not only has he not violated the Aveira of eating on Yom Kippur, that's considered a kiyum, that's considered a fulfillment of a mitzvah. So during Shiva and Shloshim, it's considered that he's mekayim a mitzvah of Avelis. And Yud Beis Chodesh, there's no kiyum of anything. It's just that you're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to get involved in tanugim. So you have to be memai tanugim. But there's no kiyum, there's only yisurim.
There's not even time
of
mitzvah
of Avelis
in Yud Beis Chodesh.
I don't think so. There are Isurim. But there are no mitzvahs. Shiva and Shloshim are considered mitzvahs. And Yud Beis Chodesh, not. There are differences in Halacha because of this assumption. The reason why the Chachamim introduced, the motivation to introduce more Avelis by a parent who died is Mishum Kibirav. But the Pashtus is that the observance of the Avelis is not a form of Kibirav. It's a din of Avelis. Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes, not so, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, that everybody, Moshe's tshuvas lahakal were very accepted. Everybody runs for a kula. So Rav Moshe has a difficult tshuva. He has the husband is being honored at some dinner, and his wife is in Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh, and he's going to be embarrassed. His wife is not going to show up, so people are going to think that they're separated. They don't get along. She's angry at her husband. Not everybody will realize that the wife is in Avelis. That's why she didn't come. So Rav Moshe says she's permitted to come in the middle of Yud Beis Chodesh. Why? Because the klal is Ishi b'v'yaviti rose, and why only Ish? What about Isha? Women are also mechuyev in kibud aviyem and in mor aviyem. So why does he sing a lot Ish? Ish sounds Ish v'lo Isha. So the Gemara says Ish. Men are free to observe the dinim of kibud av all the time. Women are subservient to their husbands. If the wife is needed, let's say, the husband needs his wife. She should do the laundry and she should cook the food and take care of the babies. The wife, she's going to always run to her parents. Her parents live in Brooklyn. She's always going to run to her parents. Not going to be taking care of the house. So the women are exempt from certain forms of kibud aviyem because it's in conflict with the shibudim to the husband. That's how Rashi quotes from the Gemara. Ish v'leisha in such a situation. So Moshe says over here, Moshe assumed that the whole observance of Yud Beis Chodesh is Kibbutz, the whole kiyum is only Kibbutz. The whole thing is only Kibbutz. So since it's only Kibbutz and it's in conflict with her service to her husband, she has to support her husband to be mechabed him. The whole community is mechabed the husband. So since she's meshuvah to the husband, so she should go to the dinner and forget about it. That's questionable. Is that what it really means? That Kibbutz means only a kiyum of Kibbutz. Pashtus says that it's not a kiyum. Kibbutz is what motivated the Chachamim to introduce more avelus, and it's a din of avelus. Would you say, for example, halachik de ramekel ba'oval, if there would be a machloikis, and avelus yid beis chodesh? You would say, it's a din of avelus, halachik de ramekel ba'oval, safek avelus l'kula. You say, no, it's not avelus, it's kibirav. So safek kibirav is, you would treat it like any other safek mitzvah. The Pashto says, not like Rav Moshe, the Pashto says that kibirav is the reason, the motivation why the Chachamim introduced Avelus Yid Beis Chodesh, but it's Petoris Avelus, not Petoris Kibirav. I think the Pashtus is like that. What is the nature of the carbon that the Oledas bring? So the Gemara, the Mishnayis, increases, call it a carbon oil of Yoreid. What is the carbon oil of Yoreid? So I had a professor in college who didn't know what oil of Yoreid was. He thought oil of Yoreid means some carbon that's brought on the steps. There were 15 steps that went up and down in between the Ezra Yisrael and the Ezra Nashim. Has nothing to do with the 15 steps. There were 15 steps. Oil of Yoreid means the price of the carbon goes up and down depending how much the person can afford. So it says by Yoledas and by Mitzorah, if they can afford it, they bring such a carbon. If they can't afford it, they bring a less expensive carbon. And in Parshas Vayikra, we discussed there were three carbonas that are chatas oil of Yoreid. By Tumas Migdash Vikadoshev and Shvoz Bitoy and Shvoz Eidus, so whoever violates one of those three Averis, so they bring Achatus Olaviyoreid, and there are three levels. There's Ashiris and Dalus and Dalai Dalus. Here there's only Ashiris and Dalus. And by Parshas Vayikra, you have Ashiris, Dalus, and Dalai Dalus. The Rambam lived in a period, the Rambam lived in Egypt for many years. And he lived in a period where he had a fight against the Karoim. They had a lot of Karoim in the days of the Rambam. Still have a lot of Karoim now in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam quotes a practice of the Karoim. They had chumas and they had kulas. They had everything different from, they didn't have the tradition, they didn't accept the traditions of the Torah Shebaal Peh. They made up their own religion. So by the Oledas, it says the first 7 days the woman, the first 7 days she had a boy, or the first 14 days if she has a girl, she's tameh. She can't go to mikveh before the 7 or 14 days are up. And then the next 33 days, or the next 66 days, teshev b'dmei tohara. What does that mean? So the way the Torah Shebaal Peh has the tradition, how to translate the words, that's called yimei tohar. Even if the woman has dam, absolutely, dam tameh, that's called Dam Tohar. The Dam that comes in the 33 days of the 66 days is Dam Tohar. We have a minig today from the days of the Gaonim that we're not boil al Dam Tohar. If the Oledis, even if the woman went to the mikveh, usually it's not so easy to go to mikveh after you have a baby. Usually it'll take a while till everything straightens out. But even if the woman succeeded in going to the mikveh after the 7 or the 14 days of the Yimei Tumah, if she has Riyas Dam in the 33 of the 66 days, in Menator, it's not Metameher, it's Dam Tohar, it's Yimei Tohar. But Mitam Minig, the Goyim say, we are not Boil al Dam Tohar, we're Machmer on that. So the Rambam quotes the Sheet of the Karoim, and of course he attacks it. He says, it's Apikursis, you're not allowed to follow this practice. They interpreted the pasuk just the reverse. Teshev b'dmei tohara, that normally all year long, when a woman has a riyas dam, so it's only mitame if the dam is dam ha'odoim. And the Mishnah has five maris dam that are mitame. We are machmer anything that's noita ladmumis, the machmer that has a maris dam. But mikir adin, there are only five specific maris dam that are mitame. So these karoim had their own interpretation. Teishay bidmei tohara, she's not allowed to be with her husband even if she has dam with her mara tohar. Teishay bidmei tohara, let's see, she has an excretion. That part of the body always has fluids there. So let's say it's going to be yellow or something brown. So it's not dam. So it's tohar. It's mamish not dam. So the karoim interpreted, but if it's in the 33 days of the 66 days, then we're more machmer. Not that we're more mekel. We're more machmer. She has to abstain from being with her husband, even though it's only Dmei Tohara, even though it's Dam Tohara. So the Rambam says that this is Apikursis, you're not allowed to follow this. You look in the Ramah, all of a sudden the Ramah has such a minig. The minig was that the women don't go to mikveh till after the 40 days or after the 80 days. So Mazeh, a minig from the Karoim. So the Ramah says if they don't have the minig in your community, don't introduce it because it smacks it may be a carryover from the Karoim's minig. But if you have the minig, if it's clear that the community has such a minig, so the makam mekayem tohar, it has a good source. And the source is the following. It's the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. You know that whenever there's a machloikas abai v'rava, so we always paskin like Rava, with the exception of Yalkagam, the six cases will be paskin like Abai. So one of the Yalkagam is the letter Lamed. So what is it referring to? So the Yud, everybody knows, Yud Shalomidas. The Ayin is Eid Zamim Lamafreho Nipsal. That's a Nigmara. The others are not so clear what they are. So the Lamed is a famous dispute, Rashi in the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi says it has to do with a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Tazvav, Lechi Hoimid Me'elov. You have to ask the Daf Yomid people, they just flew through it the other day. Lechi Hoimid Me'elov. Fine. And Rabbeinu Tam says, not true. Lechi Hoimid Me'elov, we pass like Rove, and the Lamed is, Yimele Dose Shein Eroi Behem. It's a Machlekes Abai V'Rove in Maseches Nido. Let's say a woman is a Yoledes, so she has to wait 7 or 14 days, depending whether she had a boy or a girl. So let's say the woman, before she gave birth to the baby, she happened to be a Zova. So she needs Shivanakim, and she didn't yet calculate the Shivanakim. So after she gives birth to the baby, this is never going to happen, highly improbable. It takes a long time till the dam stops. Let's say the woman gave birth to a baby, and in the middle of the first 7 or 14 days, there's no dam coming out from her body, which is highly, highly unlikely, and she can make shivanikim in the middle of the 14 days. They say, yimele dosa, the first 7 or 14 days are called yimele dosa. Shena roya behem, she's not having any dam, can those be oiler the sphira zivasa? She was a zava before she gave birth to the baby. And because she was a zava, you need shivanikim. So can you say it's oiler lakana lakan? The 7 days or the 14 days are because she's a yoledah. So can you kill two birds with one stone? In the middle of the 14 days, which are oiler with the yimei tumasa of the yoledah's nekeva, and you have 7 of those days will be yimei tohar. So is it oiler lekana lekan? So that's a machlokes abai v'rova. So the Rabbeinu Tam claims be paskin like abai. Abai is the machmer over there. That yimei leidosa shenirei behem. And not oilim l'sfira zivos. So what do you have to do? So the dam already stops. You have to wait till after the 14 days are up, and then you have to count shivanikim. So you have to wait 21 days, then go to mikvah. So Rabbeinu Tam says, we're not finished yet. And now there's a machlokes b'sama and b'shilo in the Mishnah, in Nida. Let's say a woman has a baby girl. So the melos is 80 days. So the first 14 days is yimei tuma, and the next 66 days is yimei tohar. Adds up to be 80 days. So when do you end yimei tuma, and when do you start yimei tohar? So b'shamay are of the opinion, b'yomi tali rachmona, the 14 days are up, that's the end of yimei tuma. She has to go to mikveh. If she doesn't go to mikveh, so she won't be moteris lebada, she won't be tohara. But yimei tuma are up, and we paskin like b'shilu. There are a couple of cases where we pass like Bishamai, but this is no machlekes. Here we pass like Beisilu, that Yimei Tuma not up until B'yoyme Tvili Tal Rachmana. She has to count the 14 days and go to mikveh. And if she didn't go to mikveh after the 14 days are up, let's say she waited 20 days, so there will be 20 days Yimei Tuma and 60 days Yimei Tara. And if she didn't go to mikveh till 40 days, after the baby was born, so it'll be 40 days he made tumah and 40 days he made tohar. And it's a major machlokes between Bisham and Beisilo. It's a difference. Are we holding in the middle of he made tohar, but she didn't go to mikveh yet? Or you know, he's still holding in the middle of he made tumah. There's a difference about the dam yavesh. The Mishnah has a detailed machlokes. So we paskin like Beisilo, using the expression of the Gemara that he made tumah are not up until b'yomi utvila tal yirachman. So Rabbeinu Tam came up with the chiddush that every yoledes needs shtei tefillos. Every yoledes has to go to mikveh twice. She can't go to mikveh before, let's say, the 7 or the 14 days are up because of yimei tumah. And then we have a practice today. We treat nashi didan, taisvis, and the raivid, quote from the shiltas, that all of our wives, nashi didan, kula ki yoldes bezovninu. We treat every woman who has a baby as if she was a yoledes bezov, as if she became a zava before the baby was born, and she needs shivanikim. So he can't begin to count to Shimon. He came crying to Rabbi Natam, who paskens like Abai, that Yimele Dosish and Yerubahem are not Oilim Lesfira Zibasa. So he can't begin to count to Shimon Akiyim. What do you need Shimon Akiyim for? The Chumer for Negoinim, that's quoted in the Shiltas. Akula Nashi Didan, we treat all the women have babies as if they were Yoldas Bezov. So you can't begin to count the Shimon Akim until after the woman goes to mikveh after the 14 days or after the 7 days. She has to go to mikveh in order to terminate Yimei Tumah, because Kol Zman is still holding in the middle of Yimei Tumah. The Rabbi Natan is machmal like Abayi that Yimei Tumah, so Shene Roy Behem, are not Oilem Letzvira Zivos. So this was a big hardship. Years ago, they didn't have one mikveh. In many communities, they had to crack the ice and go to the mikveh. The woman just had a baby. She can catch pneumonia. So you tell her she has to go to mikveh twice. She has to go to mikveh after the 14 days of having a baby girl to terminate Yimei Tumah. And then she has to go to the mikveh after the Shivan Akim in the middle of Yimei Tohar. So in order to spare themselves having to go to mikveh twice, so they came up with a patent. This whole machlok is Bisham and Bisil. When did Yimei Tumah end? After the 14 days, after the 7 or 14 days of the Yimei Leidos are over, so Yimei Tumah are up. And we pass on like Beis Hillel, it's not so, not B'yom Yitad Rachman, you need B'yom Yitvila. You have to wait 7 or 14 days after the baby was born, and then go to Mikveh, and then Yimei Tumah of the Leidos are up. So this whole Machlokes only is, if you're still holding in the middle of the Malos of 40 days, or the middle of the Malos of 80 days, if it's a baby girl. So Bishamay say it's always after 7 and 14 days you start Yimei Tohar. Bishil will say no, it's 7 and 33 if she went to mikveh after the 7, and if not, it's going to be 10 and 30. If not, it's going to be 20, 20. It's not going to be 30 and 10. And how long do you go? So Tosis says no, after the 40 days are up, then Yimei Tumah for sure are up. The whole shita of Bishil only is how much of the malos of the 40 days, how much of the malos of the 80 days do we label as Yimei Tumah. But you can't say past the 40, past the 80 days, for sure Yimei Tumah are up. So in order to spare themselves having to go to mikveh twice, we have Tosfos on the bottom of the page in Maseches Krisus, in tiny letters on the bottom. So they write there that the minig b'chol oret sarfas v'yashkenaz, all over was like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the oldest used to go to mikveh twice, shtei tvilas, because they followed the Rabbeinu Tam, that the lamed of Yalkakam is Yimei Leidosa, and you have to have Shivin Akim after the Melei Dosa are up, so they have Shtei Tvilas. So in order to make it easier, in order not to require the Shtei Tvilas, so they would wait to go to Mikveh till after the whole Malos was up. The Malos, that's the 40 of the 80 days are up, so for sure you made Tumah are up. Then they would just count Shivin Akim after that, and they wouldn't need Shtei Tvilas, so they would only have to risk it catching pneumonia once, going to the Mikveh once after. So there was such a minig. The Shach quotes this on the first page in Hilchas Nidah. Quotes him from the Darkei Moshe, from the Ramah. Where did this minig come from? That the women don't go to mikveh until after the 40 days are up or after the 80 days are up. If it's rooted in the Karoim, then you're not allowed to observe it. So he says, no, it has a mocker, because the Balei HaTosfos had the practice to be choshish for this Rabbi Natam, and you need Shtei Tvilas. So if you wait Shivan Akim after the whole Malos is up, then you'll spare yourself, you won't need Shivan Akim. But then, they didn't do like that. The minig got this developed. You don't wait 7 days after the 80 days are up. You don't wait 7 days after the 40 days are up. You just wait till after the 40 days are up, then you go to mikveh. So what did you accomplish? So it doesn't make any sense. But that's a minig that there are more quotes. He says, if your community has such a minig, you can assume that it started off as being a minig to wait 7 days after the 80 days, 7 days after the 40 days, and it's rooted in the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. So in Shulchan Aruch, by the time it came to Paschal in Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote the Rabbeinu Tam. We don't Paschal like this Rabbeinu Tam, that you need Shtei Tvilas. We Paschal like Rava. We Paschal the Lamed of Yalkagam, like Rashi goes on Lech Yom Me'elav and Erevin, and Yimei Leidosa Sheni Rabbehem Aroilim L'Sfira Zivos. So today, nobody goes Shtei Tvilas. So some communities in the days of the Ramon, the 1500, they had the carryover of this minig to wait not to go to mikveh till after the 40 days or after the 80 days are up, which doesn't really make any sense. It would have made sense if they would have waited 7 days after the 40 days are up, 7 days after the 80 days are up. So the Ramon, the Darkei Moshe, that's the commentary of the Ramon, the bottom of the page in the Tur. So the Ramon, the Darkei Moshe, justifies the meaning. He says that's probably what it's based on. No, we don't have that minig at all. We don't have the minig to wait till after 40 or 80 days. Whenever the woman is able to make shivinikim, she goes to the mikvah. We have the hasogas of the balamor on the rif. So the Ravid wrote hasogas, the Ravid and the balamor learned b'charus. So we have hasogas of the Ravid on the balamor. The name of the sefer is called Kosuv Sham. Because when they found the manuscript, they didn't know what the name of the sefer is. But so every paragraph starts Kosuv Sham. My chavrusa wrote this, and he said, so if he agrees, he says he stole it from me. I said it first, and if he disagrees, he says Sheka v'chazam. It's not true. Yes, the rabbi has what to say, and every comment of the Balmor. So kasher rosa ken yosalo. So the rabbi wrote a sefer Bali Anefesh and the laws of Taras Hamishpacha. So his chavrusa, the Balmor, wrote Hasogas on the Bali Anefesh. They have many different editions of the Balam. They have recently they put out more editions. In the older editions, there were lines missing, there were paragraphs missing. Now they have the whole manuscript. So the Balamor has what to say about the Ravid also. So among other things, the Ravid quotes this Chumra from the Shiltas. A Tesis quotes in Nida. The Kula Nashi Didan Yoldas Bezoiv Nida. Whenever a woman today gives birth to a baby, we have a Chumra from the days of the Gaon, and we treat it as if she was a Yoldas Bezoiv. We have to make believe as if it wasn't. She didn't have a riyas dam before she gave birth to the baby. Amuberis says musulekas damim. They don't have any period when they're pregnant. So we have the chumra from the gun, and we treat every yoledes as if she had been a yoledes bezov, as if she became a zova before she gave birth to the baby, and she has to figure out where she's going to have the shivinikim. So usually it takes a while, but when they have the shivinikim, so then they go to mikvah. So the Balamor is upset. Why the Ravid? It's not the Ravid's fault. Why did the Ravid quote this Chumras HaGoyim? He says it doesn't make any sense. So there, this talk an interesting machlokes. The Balamor is picking on the Goyim. He's arguing with everybody over here. There's an interesting machlokes. What was the nature of the Chumra of Rebbe? Rabbi Yudah Nosi, the Gemara in the end of Nida, Dav Samach Vav quotes, Rabbi Yudah Nosi made a takonim. We know from Mishnayis, from the Chumash, we know there's a difference between a Nida and a Zava. A Nida is if the dam comes be'es Nidosa. A Zava if the dam comes below es Nidosa. That's how the Chumash calls it. At the end of Parshas Metzora. So if the dam, if the Riyas Adam is below es Nidosa, shouldn't have been then. So then she has a din of a Zava. So what's a din of a Zava? So if there's only dam 1 or 2 days in a row, then she's a Zava Ketana. It's only Shemeris Yom Keneged Yom. She has to make, has to have one Yom Tohar. She has to make a Bdika the next day, then she can go to Mikvah. If she had a Riyaz Dam 3 consecutive days, 3 days in a row, then she becomes a Zavak Dola, and then she needs Shivanikim, and then after she becomes Tohara, then she has to bring the Korban Mechusa Kippur. A Nida never needs, if the Dam is B'es Nidosa, the Nida doesn't need Shivanikim. She just has to wait 7 days, and then you don't need bedikas, and there's no dina mikzah yam kukula. You have to need a tavelas balayla, and there's no requirement to bring a korban afterwards. So this is very complicated. A woman should remember whether it's be'es nidosa, below es nidosa. So Rabbi Yudah, and the days of the Tanaim, it was such, it used to press on the women's minds. You have to keep on holding calendars to remember whether be'es nidosa, below es nidosa. So the Mishnayis, both in Nida and in Erchen, talk about a woman who's a Toa. The woman doesn't remember where she's holding. The Mishnah talks about a woman who's a Toya. She's like in a state of mental shock. She doesn't know whether she had a baby or she had a miscarriage or she's a Nida, a Zava, a Toira. She doesn't remember anything. She doesn't remember anything. That's probably a rare thing. But that a woman won't remember whether she's a Nida or a Zava, she lost her calendar, she doesn't know whether it's Be'es Nidasa or Lo Es Nidasa. So that's a reasonable Chumra. So Rabbi Yudah Nosi made a Chumra that all the women have to have Shivinikim. So that's a big machloikas here, the Ravid and the Balamor. What exactly was the Takana of Rebbe? So the many Rishonim assume that Takana was that we treat every woman had a Riyas Dam as if she's both a Nida and a Zava. And the Balamor says, a woman can't be a Nida and a Zava. you treat every woman as if she's a suffix nida, suffix of a toa. You treat every woman as if she's a toa. Even though the woman has a calendar and she doesn't, she didn't lose track. You treat every woman as if she's a suffix nida, suffix of. So that's a big machlokes rishonim. What's the nature of the chumrah of Rebbe? At the end of Parshas Metzora, you have the din of a zav, a man who becomes a zav. So it says he has to go to mikveh, he needs maim chayim. We spoke about it. The only tummy who needs maim chayim to become tohor is the zav. You need maim chayim by maim chayim el keli, you need by poraduma yeshes, you have to mix it into maim chayim. Or by the taharas ha-metzora, you need maim chayim when you do the shchitas ha-tzipor ha-shchuta, al-gabi ha-maim ha-chayim. But for the purpose of being toivel, the only tummy who needs to be toivel in a maim chayim is the zav, all the others don't. We spoke about it. Zava, some came up with a chiddush that a zava needs maim chayim. Rashi quotes from the Gaonim, and Rashi in many places disagrees that it's against the Tosefta. Tosefta says beferish that that's the difference between a zav and a zava, that the zav needs maim chayim and the zava does not. So when the Chumash describes the zav being toivel in a mayon, in the maim chayim, it says, v'yodav lo shotav ba'mayim. Kozman that he wasn't, he didn't wash his hands, so then he remains tummy. And if he washes his hands, it becomes tohar. He's not washing his hands. He has to be toivel in the maim chayim. What kind of an expression? The yodav lo shotav ba'mayim. He didn't wash his hands in the water. So the Gemara says that this is a remes v'netilas yadayim. The Gemara in the beginning of Kalabosa says, this al zeh samcha chachamim to introduce a takon and netilas yadayim for eating bread. Yeah, but that's an asmachta. Sounds like a very strong asmachta, but that's an asmachta. That's a big discussion. What is asmachta? Asmachta is just a mnemonic device that we shouldn't forget the din de rabban. Or asmachta means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that he was hinting to him that I would appreciate it, I would like it, in some future generation the rabbi should introduce the takona de rabban. So that's what the Ritva in the first perek in Rosh Hashanah quotes, that we have a tradition from our Rabbeim that when you have an asmachta, some Acharonim say it depends whether it's, the Gemara says asmachta bi'alma or asmachta. Asmachta bi'alma means just a mnemonic device. If the Gemara says asmachta, means that that was really the kavana of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way to imply that he would appreciate if they would introduce such a din de rabban. Here, this pasuk is very striking. Yodav lo shata b'mayim. Really sounds like it's talking about netilas yadayim. But that's an asmachta. Maybe that's an asmachta chashuva. Maybe that was the kavana of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay. So halacha lemaisa, what? How do we read the pasuk on the level of the raisi, leaving out the asmachta? So the Gemara says v'yodav lo shata b'mayim. The zav only has to be toivel in the mikveh. Ma yodav mi baroi, av kol mi baroi. When a person, his tummy goes to mikveh, does he have to open his mouth that the water should go inside his mouth? Does he have to open his eyes? Can they keep their eyes closed? So the Gemara, the Mishnah say that the mouth is beis hastorim. And the eyes, you can close your eyelids, and that's beis hastorim. Beis hastorim doesn't need bias mayim. The yodav lo shotav ma bayim, ma yodav mi baroi. The hands are exposed. Afkol mibara, you only require bias mayim on the surface of the body, that's mibachutz. But whatever is a beis hastorim doesn't require bias mayim. Nonetheless, the Gemara says there is a din of chatzitza on the beis hastorim. A person who goes to mikveh, a woman who goes to mikveh, has to brush her teeth to make sure that she has nothing caught in between the teeth. The Gemara tells a story that once a shivcha shel beis rebbe, one of Rabbi Yudah Nasi's shvachas went to mikveh. She was a nida, she was living with an avik naini, and then after having gone to the mikveh, she found a chicken bone was caught in between her teeth, so she removed it, and then she had to go to Bitoivel the second time. Even though you don't require bias mayim in the beis hastorim, but there is a din of chatzitza. That's a big machlokes harishonim, whether that din, chatzitza in the beis hastorim, does that make sense? There should be a din. Is that a din deraisa or is that a din derabbanon? So the Ritva has a famous opinion, that's only a din midirabbanon. It's anyway a din de rabban because it's only miyut. Minatar, it's only a chatzitza if you have raif. So the Ritva holds, many achrayim have adopted this position. Whenever you're talking about, let's say, stitches in the mouth, whatever, or let's say they made a filling and the filling is too high and it bothers the person. When they put their tongue over there, they feel that they have to go to the dentist, they have to go back to the dentist to take off part of the filling So that's a miut, a makpid. That's a chatzitza. So many achrayim say, to begin with, you're dealing with the double derabbanan, because chatzitza in the Beis HaStarm is only derabbanan. They want to adopt this position of the Ritva, and it's only a miut. So is there, if there's any tzad lahakel, there's more room to be makel, because it's a derabbanan on top of the derabbanan to begin with. Taisus does not seem to hold like that. Taisus holds that a chatzitza in the Beis HaStarm is a real din deraisa.
Maybe that's because kol haroi the bila and the kavas. You say like that?
Kol haroi levila, yeah.
By the minachos, that with the oil and the flour, and then you can see the same thing here. That if even though yes, you don't need water in the base of starim, then
right.
If there's no chatzitza,
right. I think the Gemara says like this: if you have a chatzitza in the base of starim, so it's no good because it's ain't a roi lebias maim. So then the lebias maim is meka. I think that is correct. Right, so that's a machlokes. The Ritva thinks that the whole din of chatzitza and beis tarim is only with the rabbanan, and Tosfos holds not so. Tosfos holds that is their raisa. So the
how come by a miut, which is only the rabbanan, when we're I think even to the Eved, we tell the woman to come again if there's a suffix for rabbanan.
If there's a suffix, yeah, where is there a suffix?
I'm saying if there's a suffix on a miut, suffix on a miut.
So many achrayim anoit lahakel on chatzitzas inside the mouth. If there's any tzad lahakel, they'd be mekel because to begin with, there's only a double derabban. Many assume like this ritva. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say beferish one way or the other whether chatzitz and the beis hastarim is derais or derabban. But many achrayim think that the ritva makes a lot of sense. Right. Yeah, it's only a menatar, it's only chatzitz if it's ruba umakbid. Yeah, they're both ruba umakbid.
So miyad amakbid is a drabbanan, and there's a suffix on that.
Yeah.
But I think still.
We are machmer, the Rambam quotes the Shita Sagoinim that if the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Verocha, it says kol besorai. What does it mean kol besorai? The word kol is marbe, even seor. That you have to be toivel the hair as well. Let's say a girl has very long hair. So when she's toivel on the mikvah, she has to make sure that all the hair is below the water. So the Gemara says there's a din of chatzitza even on the seir. So the Rambam quotes, let's say this paint, the whole seir is all full of paint, but it's only a miut. So what's the great tragedy? So it's only going to be midirabbanan anyway. So the Rambam quotes the shitas hagoyim. You treat the seir as a separate entity, and if a roiv of the seir has a chatzitza paint on it, so then it's no good. That's a ruba. If it's a ruba makbed, that would be a chatzitza. So the Meiri quotes the Shita Sagoinim, and he understood that the Goinim said not only seir, the Goinim understood that every aver is treated separately. So the pinky, this is one aver, this is a second aver, this is a third aver. So if you have a chatzitza on the roiv of the pinky, of this part of the pinky, that'll be a chatzitza deraisa. If you have ink and you want to get it off, so that'll be a chatzitza deraisa. So the Miri says that's the reason why the minig developed, that the women always scrape off any chatzitza on the arm, because this little chatzitza, if it would have been on the pinky, it would have been a chatzitza deraisa. So that's why they wanted to make a loiplug, so the women introduced the minig that they remove every chatzitza on the body, even if it's going to cause bleeding. Even in order to remove the chatzitza, it's going to cause a little bleeding, so they're machmer and everything. It's rooted, the minik to be machmer on chatzitzas on the body, even though it's only a miyud, is rooted in this shita sagoinim, the way the Meiri understood it. That the goinim said, not only you treat the seir as a separate entity, rubav the seir would be a chatzitza deraisa, you treat every aver in the body separately, and then we're machmer even on the surface of the body. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarshim point out, Rabbi Kiveger and others point out, that there are two different concepts. There's Beis Hastarim and there's Balua. Let's say someone has something, a pacemaker. A woman has a pacemaker put inside. So when she's tovel in the mikveh, the pacemaker inside is a chatzitza? No, it's a chatzitza. Yeah, but that's more than Beis Hastarim. Beis Hastarim means open your eyes, you open your mouth. So if you have a chatzitza there, so that's a din chatzitza in the Beis HaTam. But if you have a chatzitza and a chelik on the body that's balua, that's more than Beis HaTam, that's further in. So that, there's no din chatzitza there at all. Rabbi Kiveger discussed, let's say let's say, if there's mucus in the bottom of the nose, so the bottom of the nose is considered beis hastarim. But let's say the mucus is higher up, a person has a cold and the nose is stuffed. So chatzitza, if it's higher up, that's already considered balua. So there's no din of chatzitza bebalua at all. So then the Gemara has a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. They discuss what part of the nose is considered beis hastarim, how high up does the chatzitz have to be that it's called balua. Then the Gemara discusses other parts of the body, the osam mokam by isha, till what point is it called beis hastarim and when does it switch over to become considered the balua. Then you don't even have to worry about chatzitzes.
A pacemaker in the first place, it wouldn't be lachfit, it wouldn't be ruba anyway.
If what?
A pacemaker in the first place, it wouldn't be lachfit or ruba.
I mean, it's a meal chain of makpid. Okay, good. You're right. It wouldn't be a chatzis anyway. You are right. In the beginning of Parshas Tazria, the Torah writes two dinim, one next to the other, that the oledes is tamei for 7 days or 14 days, depending on a boy or a girl. And if it's a boy, then you perform the bris milah on the 8th day. Is there a connection between the two? The one pasuk next to the other, smuchim. So the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos and Perek Ablezer the Mila, there are 24 prokim in Masechah Shabbos. So one perek has all it, doesn't have all, has most of the dinim of bris milah. You have to run through all of Shas to get all the rest of the dinim. Has most of the dinim of bris milah, Perek Ablezer the Mila. So the Gemara there has a machlokes amaroim. What if the woman had a cesarean delivery? So there's a machlokes in the Mishnah Nida, Perek Yotzi Daifen, whether the woman is tamei or leido or not. So we paskin no. If it wasn't a normal birth, it was a cesarean delivery, so the woman is not tamei or leido. So the Gemara has a machloikas amaraim and Reb Lezer de Milo, if a nimo tamei or leido, is the baby nimo l'shmoina or not? Do you have to wait till the 8th day? Well, you say no, the day that we delivered, we made a cesarean delivery on Thursday morning, so do the bris milah today. So that's a machloikas amaraim. So we go l'chumra in both directions. I think it's Ravina Ravashi. Whenever it's Ravina Ravashi, you always go l'chumra in both directions. So if the cesarean delivery was on Thursday, you should wait till next Thursday to do the bris milah. But if the cesarean delivery was on Shabbos, so you shouldn't do the bris milah till the week is up, but you shouldn't be doicha Shabbos, because maybe you could have done the bris milah on Sunday. Maybe the only time the bris milah is doicha Shabbos if it's a milah bismana. If it has to be done by Yom HaShemini, so this is Sfeika Redina, where the Yotzei Daif and the Bris has to be done b'Shabbos Anan. So what happened, someone just told me the other day, a couple had a cesarean delivery, and they did the Bris on Shabbos, and they did the Bris on Shabbos. By mistake, they didn't tell the rabbi, they didn't tell the moil, they didn't want to tell anybody. And then after the Bris was over, then it was brought to their attention that they made a mistake, they were Machal Shabbos. Misafik, it's a Sfeika Redina, where the Yotzei Daif and Einimut Me'aleda, that's a machlok zataraim that we have at Psakan. Einimut Me'aleda. But because Einimut Me'aleda, therefore there's no din of Shmini, that's a Sfeikah Adina. So it's a Safik Chilu Shabbos that they have to do over. They have to do Atofas Damris or not. So that's Beferish that you don't have to do Atofas Damris. That's Beferish and Mishnayis. Let's say the Shmini, the Mishnayis talk about they had two babies. The Moel had two babies. One baby is supposed to have the bris on Friday, one baby is supposed to have the bris on Shabbos. And by mistake, they did the Friday bris on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says b'feirush that b'dieved, the milah has kosher. The minchas chinuch has a pilpul, he's bothered with a kasha. Why don't you say that it's a mitzvah aboa ba'aveira? Since it's a milah shelo bizmanos, it was chilul Shabbos, why don't you say it's a mitzvah baba there? Say you're not yotzei the mitzvah, so why don't you require hatovas damris? So there are answers on the kasha. Menchas Chinuch talks about the kasha. There are answers on the kasha. Not such a strong kasha. But halacha lemai said the din is the din. That even if the milah was done on Shabbos, shaloi kedin, even if it shouldn't have been deichel Shabbos, the din is a beriyah, but it's kasha. A yontav sheni shel golias, there's a machloikis harishonim, the Rosh and the Rambam, where the milah shaloi bizmana is permissible or not. This happens all the time. Every time there's a yontif, there's always a baby who was born bein hashmashes a week before. Let's say a yontif is a Tuesday and Wednesday. So Wednesday is yontif shena shel golias. And then last week there was a baby who was born bein hashmashes between Tuesday and Wednesday. So you can't do the bris milah on the first day yontif, bein hashmashas of last week. Maybe it's really Wednesday. Maybe it's not Tuesday. So if you do the bris on Tuesday, it's not yet the yom hashmini. So are you allowed to do the bris milah on Wednesday? Maybe bein hashmashas of last week was really Tuesday, and now it's a milah shaloi bizmana. So the Mishnah says a milah shaloi bizmana is not deicha Shabbos, not deicha yontif. It is not deicha second day Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnahs were written in Eretz Yisrael. So they had no yontif sheni shel galus. The only yontif sheni they had is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says in Shabbos and in Erechin, Mishnah says if you have a baby who's born bein hashmashes, so you're not allowed to do you're not allowed to perform a milah shel bizmano on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Second day Rosh Hashanah is a yom arichta, that's more chomer than any other yontif sheni shel galus. What about if it's a plain yontif sheni shel galus? Are you permitted to do a milah shel bizmano on a yontif sheni shel galus? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, that's machlekes is the Rosh in the Rambam. So you extrapolate from the Mishnah. The Mishnah only says Yantam Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to perform Midrash Lev Bizmana. What about another Yantam Sheni Shal Gom? So that's a machlekes. So what if the baby was born last week, this week Yantam is Tuesday and Wednesday. The baby was born last week in between Tuesday and Wednesday, Bein Hashmash is in between. So you can't do the bris on the first day Yantam Tuesday, maybe it's Toch Shmoina. Can you do the bris on Wednesday? So the Pischei Tshuva and Yeredeh quotes from the Nodi Yehuda that that's a Svek Sveke. Maybe it is Mila Bizmana. Maybe the Ben Hashmash is when the baby was born is really Laila. So maybe it is a Mila Bizmana. And even if you hold, and even if it's a Mila Shalai Bizmana, maybe the din is like the Rambam that you're permitted to perform the Mila Shalai Bizmana, Yontav Shein Shal Golias. So that's... remember there was a couple had, many years ago, a couple had twins. So one baby was born, it was like that, Yontif was Tuesday, Wednesday. So one baby was born, the first baby was born, Bein Hashmash is Tuesday, Wednesday. The second baby was born later in the night, after Tzeis HaKacham. So one bris they were going to have on Wednesday. And then someone told them they have to have the other bris on Yisruchag. They have to wait till they have to have two parties. They have to spend money to have two parties. So the rabbi asked me, so I told him, the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Nadi Behuda, that's a Svek Sveka. So they can do the both brisin on the second day Yontif. If it'll be the second day Rosh Hashanah, so that's the second day Rosh Hashanah, you don't have this Svek Sveka. But still, that's a machloikas. Would you be allowed to do, if you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and it's a suffix whether the Mila on the second day Rosh Hashanah is a Mila Bizmana or not, so that's a question. Whether you would be permitted to do the milah Safik Bizmana, Safik Shalai Bizmana on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That's the famous story there. Baron Kotel used to be in New York all week long. He was raising money for Chinuch Atzmai and for the Lakewood Yeshiva. Then he used to come to Lakewood on Shabbos, and he gave the shiurim on Shabbos. Once on Shabbos afternoon, he used to give the shiur. Once he gave a shiur on this topic, and when he delivered the shiur, he disagreed strongly with the Chassam Sofer. So he said, the Chassam Sofer, what he wrote is absolutely wrong. And then during Shalosh Shudas, he cut his finger with the knife by mistake. So he took it as a punishment. Min HaShemayim, why he said such a strong lashon? How can he say like this? As a Beferish Gemara, the Chassam Sofer is wrong. But when they printed the shiur, that's the way they printed it. They have Mishnas Rabbarim. So they have a shiur, so they printed it like the Chassam Sofer is absolutely wrong. I don't know who wrote up this year. There are many more dinim that are relevant halacha lemaisa bizman hazeh. This taras we don't have bizman hazeh. But there are halachas that are negeya bizman hazeh, all based on the two long sedras. Tazriyim and there's a lot to discuss. Okay, a good Shabbos, everybody. The Shabbos promises to be a star Shabbos. A lot of guests here. Try to stay here for Shabbos. Oh, what's on Sunday? Yeah. Oh, is there going to be any time to give a shiur? I didn't even look at the program. I probably won't be able to give a shiur on Sunday. Probably won't be able to. I think I'm speaking more than once. Yeah. Okay, Monday. Got to learn a little bit.